Okay, we left off a little bit just concerning Tosefes Shabbos, Tosefes Yom Tov, Tosefes Yom Kippurim. So the Gemara says explicitly in Maseches Rosh Hashanah that there's a mitzvah min haTorah of Tosefes Yom Kippurim, both before and after. And there was a machlekes on the Shabbos, Shabbos and Yom Tovim as well. Now the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah does quote a braisa that says explicitly it does carry over. The Gura claims the Das Rambam that other Torahim disagree with that, and he has a whole shtickle Torah with Das Rambam that the Rambam paskins Allah against that braisa. And again, according to Rishon the Rambam, so the only time there's a mitzvah of Tosef is only in Yom Kippur, and even in Yom Kippur, it's only vis-a-vis Iner, not vis-a-vis Malacha. And the Shulchan Aruch quotes Yeshom will disagree, the Ramban, based on Rabbi Natam, who has a whole different reading of all the sukkahs about Zman Hayyim, that basically comes out to the conclusion that there is a mitzvah of Tosefes, Bein B'Yom Kippur, Bein L'Gavim Malach, Bein L'Gavim Ina, Bein L'Shabbos, Bein Yontif L'Gavri. So we're not 100% sure how we paskin on this Shaila. So therefore the Pais can point out that L'Chadchila, one should try to be Machmir, one should try to fulfill the mitzvah of Tosefes, Shabbos, Bein Yontif properly every week, and how much more so on Erev Yom Kippur. So there's a further machlekes. In the Pesukim, when we say that there's a mitzvah of Tosefes, does that mean that's a mitzvah that you just perform by refraining from doing melacha? Or is that something that you have to actively do? You have to actively be makabel, maybe even be makabel peh. So on Erev Yom Kippur, people are more machmer, people say tefillah zakka or other things to try to make a formal kabbalah. We hold that formal kabbalah should take place before shkia, since we hold that shkia is already a safek laila. So the mitzvah of Tosefes has to precede the safek laila. When it comes to regular Shabbos, it's also not a bad idea. So once you try, if they can, to get into the habit on any Friday night, every Yom Tov night, but Friday after they finish Minchah, they should try to daven shul that Minchah before Shkiyam. So when they finish their Salon Shul Nesa, they should try to be Mekabel Shabbos Yom Tov, prepare some formal, informal declaration, Mekabel, like it's just Shabbos Yom Tov, whatever the case may be. So not everyone's so machmir about that. So some people are following the Shita Sagra, some people are following the views that you don't need a formal Kabbalah, but again, L'chadchila, Bein B'Shabbos, Bein B'Yom Tov, Bein B'Yom Kippur, but at least in Erev Yom Kippur, one should try to go the extra mile to be Mekabel B'Peh to some degree before Shkia. How long before Shkia? It's unclear exactly how long before Shkia. A few minutes before Shkia, it's not exactly clear at all what the Shia B'Dover is. Anyway, that was just the Shiraim of Lashia. Let's try to move on now to the next major topic governing Yom Kippur, and those are the Inuim of Yom Kippur proper. So the Mishnah tells us in the beginning of the 8th parak of Yuma, Asurim on Yom Kippurim, Achilu Shtia, of course, being the most serious of all of them. Achilu Shtia are the only ones that carry with them in Issacharis. The other Inuim, washing and anointing and shoes, etc. So all of those are Asur, but none of them carry with them in Einish of Karis. There is a big Machlekes in Rishonim. Why is that? Why is such a distinction exist? So there are some Rishonim who maintain, but the reason why such a distinction exists is because Achilu Shtia are the only deraisas. Everything else is all with the Rabbanan. Even though the Gemara calls Pesukim and Svaros, all kind of stuff, those are all Asmachtas B'Alma, that Me'ika Mikra Din, the only Issa deraisa of Inis Masaf Shosechem, the only Lav of Kicho and Efshel Suna, the only Chiv Karis, is only on Achilu Shtia proper. That's why all the others are, there's no Karis, because they're not deraisa anyway. Another Rishonim says it's not true. The Ram says it's not true. The Ram says that Avada, all the Inuim are deraisa. Chazal understood, they had a tradition that all of these activities are included in the mitzvah of Inis Masaf Shosechem. It's just that not all Inuim are created equal based on special psukim, only Achilu Shtia carries with it an Isser Karis. So again, everybody agrees on Rosar. Everyone agrees there's no Karis on the other Inuim, whether or not that means therefore that they're Abban or not. So that's subject to a dispute. So let's see if we can go step by step to the different Inuim just to highlight some of the most important parts that are relevant for us L'maisa. So when we speak about Achilu Shtia, so the Gemara is quick, the Mishnah is really quick to point out that the Isser Achilu Shtia on Yom Kippur is not identical to the Isser of Achila Tzev Machos Asuros in the following sense, that we have a halacha Moshe Mesinai called Shiurim, that if a person eats a small amount of non-kosher food, although we paskin Chatzi Shiur Zosim in the Torah, he's not Chayav Malkas, not Chayav Koris, whatever the particular Einish is, there wouldn't be an Onesh for less than the Shia. What is the Shia Achila? So the Gemara says we have Allah Moshe Mesinai. The Shia Achila is a Kezayis. When it comes to Yom Kippur, though, the Mishnah said that's not the Shia Achila. When it comes to the Yom Kippur, the Shia is a little bit bigger. It's Kasevis Agasa, the size of a large date. Why does the Shia change? So the Gemara explains, because on Yom Kippur it doesn't use a Lashon Achila. The Torah never says Achila on Yom Kippur. It says Inui. The Yisr is Kichon Efti Shalos Una. So the Teshuvah Ba'peh explains, we have a tradition, Ish Rapisha Meshu Rabbeinu, that the Inu Ha'am Batar means not to eat. But since the Torah doesn't use the phrase Achila, that comes to teach us that the Shir is not like the regular Dinam of Achila, and the Shir, in order to be Chayv Koris, is going to be Kasef Sagas, a slightly larger Shir. It doesn't mean that it's Mutter eat less. There's an Isser Derais, even Dita Kol Shehu. But in terms of being Chayv Koris, Malchus, etc., those Onshim will only kick in when you reach the higher Shir of Kikasef Sagas. Is there any other difference between Yom Kippur and other Machos Asuras that are a result of the fact that the Torah uses a different Lashon? That all other Isurim, Chazir, Neveil, Strafers, etc., the Torah always uses the Lashon Achila, and here when it comes to Yom Kippur, so somehow the Lashon Achila is missing. So does that conjure up any other images or any other halachas that are relevant for that? So the Menchas Chinuch has a Chiddush that he suggests that there is a Sug in the seventh parak of Maseches Chulin that talks about a very nitty-gritty shayla. What's considered to be achila hamor b'torah? The Torah says you're not allowed to eat chazir. So at what point do you say that a person experienced the ma'aseh achila? So it has something to do with food going into your mouth and going down. That everyone agrees. But where exactly is the cutoff point? At what point do you say the achila is over? So the Gemara quotes Machlokes from Yechin and Rish Lakish. And Yechin says, Hanoaz Goron, that the shir achila, the shem achila in Kol Torah Kula is the throat area. Which part of the throat area is also not 100% clear. The throat area, that's considered to be achila mor b'tayra. And Rish Lakish says, no, hanos me'ayim. It has to go further down. It's got to go down to the kishkis. Which part of the kishkis? Also unclear. So otherwise we have full clarity in the sugya. But it's clear that according to B'yechir, the cutoff point is much, much earlier than it is according to Rish Lakish. So b'yechapa mignafka min ladina. Let's say a person eats some tray for food, and then he throws it up. So if it already reached the point of Anos Garon, so then throwing it up is not going to change anything. So he ate it, finished. But if you hold like Rish Lakish, that you only chayav when you reach the point of Anos Me'ayim, so maybe one could argue that if you got rid of it before it reached, again, we're not sure where Me'ayim are exactly. Me'ayim are lav dafka all the way down the intestines, because Me'ayim are much, much higher up. But whatever the definition of Me'ayim are, according to Rish Lakish, if the food has not yet reached the B'nai Me'ayim, then you technically haven't violated Achila. That's what there's a shayla halacha. Let's say a person by mistake ate something tray. He ate a piece of chazer, and then like Gavalti realizes it's chazer. Does it make any sense? He should try to throw up the chazer. So according to Rish Lakish, if it hasn't gone down too far, then it would probably make sense if you can to try to avoid the issa, you can try to throw up. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's lamal lamay. What's going to happen by throwing it up? He violated already issa. So I once had the shayla ma'isa. Somebody sitting in the bismedish, and a guy comes in like white as a ghost. It's late at night, and he comes and he says that he had gone back to his dorm room. He wasn't there. He had gone back to his dorm room, and he was a nice guy. He didn't want to wake up his roommate, and he knew that he had some cake on the table in the room. He wanted to munch on it, so he started to eat. It was dark in the room. He starts to eat the cake. Didn't feel right. Didn't taste right. So he takes it outside to the hallway, and he sees that it's swarming with ants. So he had bitten a couple of bites, he had swallowed a couple of piece of cake, so he had clearly eaten some shkatzim, shkatzim and masim. So he wanted to know, is he mechuyev to try to throw up or not? So I said, it depends on mechuyev, Rabbi Yechon Mishlachish. So we pass like Rabbi Yechon, so you don't have to throw. I think he did throw up anyway because he was just so nimas, but if he didn't, he's not mechuyev to throw up because we pass like Rabbi Yechon. So the Mechas Chinuch has a chiddush that the medibar memurim Rabbi Yechon said anoz goren is considered to be an achila. That's vis-a-vis l'shanis of achila. But when it comes to Yom Kippur is a din of inui. So if a guy just barely bekoshi went stroked with it and comes right out again, so he says that he doesn't think that's called an inui. That's not called a lack of inui. And therefore, even Rabbi Yechonon would concede to Rish Lakish when it comes to Yom Kippur that you need the deeper penetration of the food in order to constitute an isra of Yom Kippur. So chapanef kamil ladina. Let's say a guy forgot it was Yom Kippur. He ate a little bit of Yom Kippur, took a bite and swallowed it. So even according to Yechon, it says you're not mechuyev to throw up the ants, but maybe you should try to throw up the food, because if you can catch it enough time before it reaches Hanos Me'ayim, so maybe that would get you out of the issur that you ate on Yom Kippur by mistake. So that's a shah. Not everyone agrees with this, but that's a chiddush of Mechas Chinuch. That the rules of Hanos Goren, Hanos Me'ayim change when it comes to Yom Kippur. Mechas Chinuch, in the same piece, claims that they changed the guy with Birchas HaMazon also, because Birchas HaMazon also a din of Sviya. So on a level of the Araisa, he says, you can't be chayv just for doing Ma'aseh Achila. If you just ate something and threw it up, so he's not so sure you'd be mechuyev to bench Minat Torah. So he has a shaila. Maybe you're not mechuv to bench for a Torah. Maybe you're mechuv to bench for the rabbanon, because to call it a sviya, he says it's hard to believe it's a sviya. If it doesn't go down, it doesn't fill you up. So it's a lack of a sviya. But with the rabbanon, they're masak and they have to bench even if you didn't kedei sviya, even if you just ate kezayis. So you see that with the rabbanon, they change the tour b'chus hamazon, and it's enough just to have an achil without a sviya. So he has a sofek that maybe if you swallowed food and then you threw it up right away, he's not sure whether you have to bench or not with the rabbanon. Other person can say you don't have to bench for another reason, because it's like Nisachal HaMozim HaMeyav. The Mishnah says in Brachas, if you eat food and then digest it, it's ready 10 hours later, so then you don't have to bench, if you forgot to bench. You have to reach a point where the food is already digested, so then it's not helping you feel good anymore. So then that's always Brachas HaMozim. So some Achronim write that when you throw it up, what's the difference whether it gets absorbed into your blood or whether it's into the bathroom? So it's not serving the function anymore of helping you feel good. So maybe that's not considered bichir b'chus hamazon. It's a strange discussion. Anyway, back to the story. So are there any other differences, any real, more practical differences between Yom Kippur's achila versus other areas of halacha? So the Shabbos Aryeh has a big chiddush in his piece about Yom Kippur, where he claims that what would be the din if a person ate something in Yom Kippur, shalok yederech achila. Let's say a person eats a raw meat or something on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says in Pesachim, in the second parak, that if you eat a piece of raw chazer, you're not chayev. If you eat a piece of raw nevels and trefes, you're not chayev. It has to be derech achila. The Gemara says that din of derech achila doesn't apply to bas b'cholov and doesn't apply to kili akarim. If a person eats bas b'cholov and kili akarim shalok yederech achila, you're still chayev. What's the difference? The Gemara says because they never use the Lashon Achila by those two. So the Lashon Achila is a pite of Shalak Yederech Achila. But if the Torah formulates the Yisra in a different Lashon, such as by Kila Kerem, it says Pentikta Shemalaya, which means the Lashon Pentuka Reish, that's an Yisra Hanah. Where the Torah by Bas B'cholov says Lo Sabash Gdi three times, each one teaches you an Yisra or a different Yisurim. But the Torah never uses the magic word Achila. So the Gemara Pesachim says whenever the Torah uses the magic word Achila, that's a pite of Shalak Yederech. Whenever the Torah doesn't use the magic word Achila, that's a Machai of Shalak Yederech. So Shagasai says of Zoy by Yom Kippur, it doesn't use the word achila. So maybe chayv, even shalak yederech achila. So if you eat raw meat on Yom Kippur, you're going to be chayv. That's the Shagas Aryeh's chiddush. So the Shagas Aryeh asks the kasha himself. If so, what does the Mishnah say in Yuma? That if you eat oichlin she'enim ruuyim, if you eat spoiled food, if you eat miserable tasting food, you're potter. So how could that be? L'chor, isn't that a p'tur of shalak yederech achila? So Shagas Aryeh says no. Pesachal Brisketar, he says no. Shalok Yederech Achila means there's nothing wrong with the food per se. It's just raw right now, but it's not a pgam in the cheftza. There's nothing wrong. It's not pagur with the cheftza of the food. It's just you as a gavra are eating it in a mishundik way. Normal people don't eat raw meat. So that tour of Shalok Yederech Achila doesn't apply to Yom Kippur. But when you have food that bitam atzma is spoiled, when the food itself is a cheftza from pagum, so that's a different halacha. That's not food b'chlal. That's mufkul agamra. That's like eating dirt. That's there's no shaychas whatsoever to the sukkah of Shalok Yederech. So there are two different halachas. There's one halacha of Shalok Yederech, which is the din mitzad agavra, and there's a din of oichlan shenem ruyim, which is the din mitzad cheftza. So everybody agrees to the Mishnah. Mishnah is befakers. If you have spoiled tasting food, so then you're going to be potter. So a lot of place can disagree with the Shagisai. The Rambam Pashas doesn't say the Shagisai. The Pashas Pshat is that if you have Eichlan Shenem Ruyim, so I'm sorry, if you have an Achila that Shalak Yederech, it could be a Tzaptor even in Yom Kippur. That's a big Machlekes HaPosku. But for us, it doesn't make much of a difference. Most people are not eating raw meat on Yom Kippur, but the Shad that does come up for us is very, very bad tasting food. So what would the din be? If a person eats a miserable, horrible, terrible tasting food, so bein lefi Shagas Aryeh, bein lefi others, you can't be chayav. It's not shaykh to be chayav. The Mishnah says, Eichel Shem Ruhim Lachila is potter. So there's a big machlekes in Rishonim when we say that Eichel Shem Ruhim Lachila a potter. So does that mean potter or mutter? It means you're allowed to do it. You're allowed to take, if I have spoiled food, I'm allowed to eat it on Yom Kippur. What does it mean? No, potter means potter v'alosser. So some of the Rishonim write that I think quotes a Rav Yehuda that says, that even though the Gemara says in Shabbos, Kamakash Ramachacham, Potter means Potter Valasa, Potter, the Lashon Potter in Chazal always means it is the Rabbanan, that cloud was only said in Masech Shabbos. It's not a cloud, Kotar Kula. Potter could mean, exactly, means your Potter, means Potter, you actually had to do it. So the Summer Shem quotes such a possibility that you're Mamash Tachatchil had to eat bad tasting food. And we paskin against that. We paskin Halacha, like the Rosh, that you're not allowed to eat bad tasting food. Why is it also? So the Rosh writes because of the concern of what's called Achshavei. that by your eating it, you're giving chashivus to it. So even though the food, the karon, is not really royal kathlachila, but if you chose to eat it, so then you were makshiv it, so you were makshiv it, that's a problem. To what degree is that a problem? So the Taz writes, it's only a problem in the Rabban. It can't be a problem there, right? So that's a we pass in Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to eat terrible tasting food in Yom Kippur because of this concern of akshavei. So it's not mutlach achila like the Rav Yon. It's most probably not a misa deraisa. It's probably some we paskin somewhere in the middle. It's an isa derabon mitam achshavei. So because it's a problem mitam achshavei, then there was a further machlokes acharonim. Was there any limitation to achshavei? This becomes very relevant to lemaisa. So there are some acharonim who have a chiddush that. There's a sugya of achshavei. This isad rabban. The Rosh Hashanah writes from the Gemara that there's an isad rabban of achshavei. But medvam amurim, when the guy mamish wants to eat it, means he willingly, actively, it's his own volition. He wants to go eat this food. So if you meshugah, you decide to take the terrible tasting food and eat it. So that's called achshavei. What if the reason why you're taking it is because you have a medical condition? It's a doctor's orders. The doctor said that you have to take it. It's a leis brera. So some acharonim write. So that's not considered to be achshavei. That's not the I'm not machshavei. I don't want to do it. I'd much rather not have to take the medicine. But what am I going to do? I know there's disagreement. The Shekhsai Takav disagrees with that. He says, no, that achshavei applies whether you like it or don't like it. If lemaisa you're doing it, that's an objective called achshavei. That's the big machlekes at poiskim, halacha lemaisa, about taking all kinds of different medications in Yom Kippur. Let's say a guy's sick. The guy's not deathly ill. He's whatever. He's sick. Whatever. So he wants to take different kinds of medications on Yom Kippur. He's going to ingest them. He's going to eat them. So what's the din? Is that a problem or not? So most of the medications taste miserable. Let's say a guy wants to take Tylenol. So he's going to swallow a Tylenol on Yom Kippur. He's not going to let him swallow it with water. He's going to chew up the Tylenol, whatever. He's going to try to swallow without water. He's going to try to take the Tylenol on Yom Kippur. So Tylenols taste miserable. So that's covered by the Ptur of Eichel and Shein Ruyim. So it's not going to be chayef for taking a Tylenol. The question is there any Yisid Derabbanan or not? So some Acharim say, yeah, there's an Yisid Derabbanan called Achshavei. And others are Mekel. Others said, no, that Achshavei doesn't apply when it's Derech Refuah. So the emphasis says this Machlokes was really Machlokes about Kashrus also. This is Machlokes that permeates Kashrus and Chometz V'Pesach. Anytime you have something that's not really Royal Achila, but you're doing it, but you're doing it for medical purposes, so is that subject to the Parsha of Achshavei or not? So those who are Machme and Yom Kippur say you can't take Tylenol would say, they would probably say you can't take Tylenol all year long. Tylenol is probably made out of treacherous. They would say that you can't take the chametzik medicines on Pesach. Even if it tastes miserable, it would be a problem. And others are makel. So many, many Pesachim are makel that you can take chametzik medicines when they taste miserable, and you can take the medicine Yom Kippur when it tastes miserable, and you can take treifetik medicines as long as it tastes miserable. That's what the many Pesachim are makel. One has to be careful on Yom Kippur because there's another issue. There's an issue of refuah. Yom Kippur is no less than any other Shabbos in Yom Tov. So even if you can clear the air in terms of the Yisr of Achila, hiding behind Eichlin Shin Amruyim and disagreeing with the Sheikh Asari and saying Achshavei doesn't apply, even if those want to be maker like that, they still have to clear the issue of the Yisr of the Ramban of taking medicine and Shabbos in Yom Tov. So that Yisr is usually not so hard to overcome because that Yisr has a lot of coolness to it. So let's say a person is a Chalish Ein Bri Sakana, who's a Nufla Mishkov, or he's going to become a Nufla Mishkov, the guy is so such a miserable headache on Yom Kippur. If he doesn't take his Tylenol, so he's not going to be able to function. So we would call that a Nofel Mishkov. So that's okay. So then as long as you're okay with the cool of no Achshavei, and the Yisr Derabban of taking medicine probably doesn't apply to you, so that would be those would be grounds. Lahakil. Well, let's say a person has medicines that he's taking on an ongoing basis. That's a big machlokes in the poskim. If a guy has a prescription to take medicine for a whole week, so maybe that's not subject to the Yisr Derabban of taking medicine. That's a further shot. That's more of a Hilchos Shabbos shot than a Hilchos Yom Kippur shot. So anytime you want to take medicine in Yom Kippur, you have to always ask yourself this question. There's a big misconception people have. They think that if a person is sick, they're really feeling miserable, so they're allowed to have pachas b'kashir on Yom Kippur. that eating pachas b'kashir is an issa deraisa. Issa deraisa is only mutter for a guy who's a chalash yesh persakana. So hopefully we'll talk next week, the following week, we'll talk a little bit about the definition of chalash yesh persakana, what you're allowed to do and not allowed to do. But if a person is not a chalash yesh persakana, so you can't have anything that's a shalav deraisa. So to have even a little bit of water is an issa deraisa. To have a little bit of food is an issa deraisa. The only thing we can discuss, we can negotiate, being mad, there are things that are not really eichlin and haruim lechilas. So then we can talk about, based on this cloud, Tony, Derabana, Noachshavei, etc. When we talk about the issa of achila and shtiyah and Yom Kippur, So even though the shear is a little bit different in terms of, it's not a kazayis, it's a slightly larger shear than the Tosefes Hagasa, there is a parallel din to other machalos asuras. That's the shear of kedech l'spras. The Gemara says in a few places there was halacha Moshe Sinai that let's say a person eats chazir, let's say a person is trying to eat matzah, come and pesach to fulfill the mitzvah zechila, so you have to have a kazayis b'kedech l'spras. The kazayis has to be consumed within a certain time frame. Let's say a guy takes one bite of chazir at 9 o'clock in the morning, has another one at 10 o'clock, another one at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, another one next week. Altogether, it doesn't. Come on, they haven't starved together. It has to be within a shear katsuv of kedei achilas pras. Kedei achilas pras is a rather large amount. It means a pras is the amount of a bread that you would eat, which is significantly more than a kazayis. There are different opinions whether it's 3 bates or 4 bates, and whatever the numbers come out to, but it's significantly more than a kazayis. So that shear of kedei achilas pras is the shear tzira for ochlin as well. There is a big machlekes that we shown him on Yom Kippur about how did the shear play out in terms of drinks. So the Mishnah says in Yuma that the shear of drinking on Yom Kippur is a shear kamay lukbov. It's not a revius. It's a shear kamay lukbov, which is much less than a revius. For an advertised person, about a rove revius. Kamay lukbov is a funny kind of a shear because it fluctuates depending on the size of the person's mouth. And Gemara says that liquids, somehow Chazal had this besaira that when it comes to oichlin, there's an objective shear called kosev sekas. And when it comes to liquids, it's called chad v'chad ked islay. Every person's on their own. So the shear tziruf of liquids is it has to be kamali lugmov, and it's not clear how quick you have to drink that kamali lugmov. So many mishanim are of the opinion that you have kedech l'espras, whatever, that's the magic number of shear tziruf. That's foods, liquids, all the same. And the Rambam has a unique sheet. And the Rambam says, no, the shear of tziruf of liquids is kedei shtias revius. That it has to be really, really quick. According to the Rambam, if you take it half an ounce now, half an ounce a minute later, half an ounce 2 minutes later, so they're not mature. It has to be mamish within a very, very short amount of time. So these shadows become important for cholim, as we'll talk about as we go on. So a couple of the basic isra of achil and shti on Yom Kippur is, of course, the isra deraisa of the isra karis. You only have karis if you have the shear, either kasevus v'chdech l'spras or lugbov within either kedech l'espras or kedei shtias or revias. And again, when we talk about chol, we'll talk about a little bit more practically how much this is in terms of ounces and times and minutes of the clock, etc. The basic tzura of the yisur is a chilu shtia, but it's not identical to a chilu shtia called a kula. Therefore, it may have differences l'gabi nos gorn nos meayim, maybe differences l'gabi a chilu shokaderech. Again, some certain possibilities, but for sure a difference in terms of the shir achil. That's a mishnah that the shir achil is not a kizayis. Achilas shtia again. That's they're the top of the line, top of the list in terms of the isurim. They're the for sure isurim. They're ice with the isurim. Then we move to the other inuyim. So we move first. Let's say we talk about rechitza. So washing. So we said washing is a machlokes whether washing is deraisa or derabanan. It's definitely also on Yom Kippur. So some rishonim had rayas that the isur of rechitza and Yom Kippur cannot possibly be deraisa because there are a few exceptions to the rule. The Mishnah says at the beginning of the eighth of Yuma. If there are some people who are allowed to wash in Yom Kippur, the Mishnah talks about a kala washing a face in Yom Kippur and a melech washing on Yom Kippur. It's a deraisa. How'd that happen exactly? So obviously these are assumed derabbanan, and the Chazal were very, very lenient on them. There's a big tzerech. So other Rishonim say no. Other Rishonim say that washing the oilam is an issa deraisa, but the only time it's also been deraisa is if you wash your entire body. If you sit in the bathtub, you take a shower, that's the issa deraisa. Just throw some water on your face, that's only an issa derabbanan. So that issa derabbanan they were making for a kala, melech, etc. So that's unclear. For us, it doesn't make much of a difference because we don't have too many kings around, and we have a lot of cows around. But the Pesukim write that the cows b'zman hazeh, so they don't rely on this cooling. But the Mishnah says that the girl just got married last month; she's allowed to wash her face. She's gonna baila, so we're makeup b'zman hazeh. We're machmer b'zman hazeh. Why are we so machmer b'zman hazeh? The din is b'fer shes mutar. So the Pesukim explain that the husbands don't see the wives too much on Yom Kippur, because davening got so long over the years. We have so many people in the old days. So, you went to the basement, you make the you watch the silas also, and you daven the masaf, whatever it was, and then you didn't have too many people. There was no sign of taking, so people, husbands and wives, watch out a little bit more. So it was about as day. You go to shul, it's 7 o'clock in the morning, you don't come home for lifting, you go, you come home for the break for 10 minutes, your wife's sleeping anyway. Chazal were very nervous, especially this guy on bile in the olden days. They're not so nervous about a bisman as a. So I've been against that nobody washes up today. Nobody washes the face, no one washes anything today. The Gemara says, I feel like that's well been my aim, so you're not allowed to wash your hands at all. The only thing is, the Gemara explains in Yuma that you're allowed to wash if it's mamsh mamsh like a derech hano, shlobe derech tainu. Let's say you wash it to get the dirt. So if your hands are filthy, if your hands are in mud or something, so you're allowed to wash off the mud. That's just lahavir sal lichluch. So that's mutter, and then you're allowed to wash. You just went to the bathroom for the same reason. So the Rishonim explained that's the reason why you can wash negel v'aser also, because it's also lahavir sal lichluch. It's not a physical lichluch. It's not spiritual. It's not ruchtum or whatever it is. So that's all. Those are all examples of rechitzas that are not derech tainig, and all those rechitzas are going to be mutter. The Rishonim just point out that even when we wash lo b'derech tainig, we try to make sure that we minimize what we do. We don't do anything that's above and beyond the absolute bare necessity. So there is a big machlekes in Rishonim. Whenever Chazal and Misakan Atil Yadayim, how far are the Yadayim? So some Rishonim say the Yadayim go all the way up to the wrist, some Rishonim say to the top of the wrist of the knuckles. So we pass can be ikimik within Israel the knuckles. Lechatchila, all year long we try, we have to skip beyond water, so we try to wash to the wrist lechatchila. But since we pass can be within Israel to the knuckles, therefore the Shulchan Aruch writes that in Yom Kippur, the Tishbev, also the same halacha, we try to avoid washing past the knuckles because it's unnecessary. All unnecessary washing is also the only kind of wash that's mutter, which is lobe dechtainak, it's absolutely critical. Those kind of washes are going to be mutter. The Gemara says in the end of Maseches Yuma that Chayvei Tefilas Tovin Kedaka B'Yom Kippur, that if a person's man comes to go to the mikveh, they're allowed to go to the mikveh in Yom Kippur itself for the same reason. It's not a rechitzas shel tainug, it's a toras mitzvah, not toras tainug, and therefore it's mutter. So Tosfos on the spot points out that din doesn't apply for us b'zman hazeh. Why? Because in the olden days, if a person was tamei, he's going to cause a lot of trouble. He's going to touch truma by mistake. So that's a chance that kavanah. So you can't go to Beis Hamikdash. A lot of things are going to go wrong. So therefore, for him, there's a tremendous stress, tzarech for him to get to the mikvah as soon as possible. So therefore, it's mutter. It's shelo b'derech tanig anyway, and it's a tzarech. Right? So it's mutter. Because man hazeh says, who's going to the mikvah today? We're all tamei meis anyway. The only people who are going to the mikvah are women who are nidas. So what are they running to the mikvah for? There's an issur of tashra shemitah anyway in Yom Kippur. So they're not going to be the husbands anyway Yom Kippur night. So where are they running? So therefore, Tosfos writes that b'zman hazeh, there's no justification for a woman to go to the mikvah, no Yom Kippur. So that's the din. That's what we pass in halacha today. That although the Gemara says b'feirush kol chayvei tefilas tovin kedak b'yom kippurim, Tosfos writes that was b'zman hamikdash when the Tyrus, truma, whatever. B'zman hazeh, we don't have that. It's just tefilah for purposes of tahat yola baila. She's anyway can't be with the husband. So there's no reason, and therefore it's an unnecessary tefilah, and therefore it's also. That's how our practice is today, that the mikvahs are closed on Yom Kippur night. The next of the inuyim, so the Gemara talks about sicha, that you're not allowed to anoint yourself. So here also the Gemara has a whole discussion. Let's say a person is anointing themselves for some kind of refuah need. They have some kind of a skin condition or something. So then you have to be careful that it's not a violation of refuah and shabbos and yotzeh. That's another story. But assuming that that's not a problem of that, assuming that's not a problem of marech or the other problems that could be tam alocha. So if something is being done mamash b'taras refuah, so that's also not considered to be a problem. That's why me'ikir adin, it's probably mutter to use like hand sanitizers. People who are nervous about catching germs, let's say during COVID. So the Poskim said that the person who's nervous wants to use the hand sanitizer. So it's probably mutter in Yom Kippur because it's a shtikl sicha, but it's a sicha laver sazum. It's a sicha not laver sazum. It's better than that. It's pataras refuah. So therefore, it probably probably be mutter. The last two of the inuyim. So we have the inuy of wearing shoes and the inuy of tashra shamita. So we'll have to pick up on that. So have to remind me next time. We'll pick up the last two inuyim and then we'll move on to a little bit about the Chol ben Yom Kippur, and then wrap up a little bit more about some of the intricacies of Yom Kippur, and then we're all ready to learn. What's next? It really should be Sukkah, so we'll probably, I assume at that point, it would be smart to switch to Hanukkah. That way we can at least chop a little bit of an instead of learning Hanukkah in February. So maybe it'll make sense when we finish Yom Kippur, so we'll jump into Hanukkah a little bit, and then we'll backpedal back to Sukkot. We'll be just ready for Tu B'Shvat. So we'll try to make this work in some degree of logic. Okay. All right. Yeah.